James chapter 1. You know, one of the things that takes place in a pastor's life whenever you are part of a congregation for a lot of years is that you tend to go through troubles and trials with people. Now, I can pretty much look at just about everybody here, maybe not everyone, but just about every one of you, and I know a little bit about some of your troubles and trials. Some of you have gone through sicknesses, you've been through surgeries, you've been through maybe extended illnesses, hospital stays. Some of you have had other types of trials, maybe trials related to your family or death in your families, and I can observe the congregation and pretty much know a little bit about the history, at least the recent history of your life, because we've been along the way there with you, and the same that you have with us as well in our trials. I think that we all recognize as Christians that trials, trouble, problems are a way of life. They're part of life. And for any of you who came to the Lord thinking, I'm going to get saved because I'm tired of all these troubles, thinking that you won't have any trials anymore, then you had a rude awakening when you realized that even as a Christian, you do have trials. You do go through hard seasons in your life. We all experience that, but we need to be reminded what the Bible says about the trying experiences of our life, and also see that God's hand is at work and that God is working in behalf of His people. You say, well, is God putting all these troubles and trials on us? Well, we do know that God, in spite of what the source of it might be, since you're a child of God, you belong to the Lord, that God even uses the worst adversity, the worst problem, the worst sickness, whatever that you experience, God is able to use that in your life. Now you say, yeah, but does God get glory out of all of these experiences? That's the wonderful thing about serving the Lord, is that we learn to trust Him. We learn to trust Him. Why, certainly He's a healer, and we know we've all experienced the healing power of God. We've also experienced the faithfulness of God as we have gone through maybe a longer season, and the healing came later, or maybe the healing was after we left this world and we're finally in the presence of the Lord. Either way, we have understood, and we do as Christians understand, that there is a part to our experience in life to have trouble and trials. Let's read here in James chapter 1 and verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, tossed, a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So verse 12 there, that final verse, kind of sums it up there by saying, blessed, or your the blessing of the Lord is available to you to help you endure temptation, trials, test. And when you pass the test, then you'll receive the crown of life. And so you can see from that verse that that not only are trials potentially to develop something in you for this world, but primarily it's an eternal work that's being done in you, in your heart and in your life when you pass through trials and temptations. And so we understand that, and I think this is probably one of the most confusing things that Christians have to deal with, is because we preach faith, we believe that God answers prayer, we believe that He works and moves in our needs, but then sometimes we don't see it take place. So we want to sometimes point our finger and say, well, maybe that person doesn't have enough faith, or maybe the preacher doesn't have enough faith, or maybe some of the other leaders of the church, not enough faith, or we wouldn't be going through trying times. But there is, in the Word of God, this very important principle, and that is that our faith will be tested. Our confidence in God will be put to the test. And we all, regardless of where you are and your level of Christianity, if you're a new Christian or if you've been saved for a long, long time, your faith will be put to the test. Amen. It will be put to the test. And it has both a temporal advantage to you. You learn things in character and in training, and also in confidence in God. And then it's also achieving in you eternal reward, a crown of life, an eternal weight of glory. It refers to that in another place in the Scripture, that's being earned in you. Something eternal is being accomplished in you. One of the things that happens when you go through trials is that you have to remember that we are not made for this world. And so heaven is the world that we've talked about the last couple of Sundays. And heaven is the world where there's no troubles. Remember we talked about that from Revelation? No pain and no tears and all the things that are going to be forever gone when we get to that wonderful place. But we're not in heaven yet. We're still in this world. And in this world, you will have tribulation. That's what the Bible says. You will have tribulation. But what the test will accomplish in you is what's really the important thing for us to consider here today. The trying of your faith, the testing of your faith, to see what God and how that God is going to put you to the test and bring you through the test, and then you will be made better and strengthened and be made more usable in the work of the kingdom of God. I've noticed this over the years that some of the trials that I have gone through later, whenever I was trying to help someone else or pray for them or minister to them, when I have already gone through a similar type trial, it gives me a whole new level of understanding of what they're going through. When someone has lost a parent, I know what it feels like. I know the depth of pain that's involved when someone loses their family. And so I went through that in my own family. And so now I have that level of understanding and compassion. And so there are some things that we learn that causes us to be able to be more effective in our compassion and our ministry. Amen. You know what I'm talking about here this morning. And so our faith must be put to the test. It improves us. It gives us a greater quality and a greater ability to minister to other people, as well as achieving an eternal reward in us, a crown of life, an eternal weight of glory that is accomplished in us. But it has to be put to the test. We know that that diamonds become diamonds because of years and years of heat and compression and pressure, and they become what they become over the process of many, many years. At least that's what scientists tell us. And a jeweler can determine, because of his trained eye, he can determine the valuable diamonds and the maybe the diamonds that aren't as valuable, and some that might even be a fraud. They can tell. But they say that one of the tests that a jeweler uses is water. That a real diamond, once placed underwater, that through the water and seeing it in the water, that a diamond that's not real will just become something very muddled and not as brilliant. A real diamond, that even when it's placed in the water, it's a water test that is often applied to see if a diamond is really the real thing. And so it's placed in the water, and it's still just as bright, still just as brilliant in the test. Amen. So when we go through testing times, whether it be in your family, whether it be in your health, or whatever the circumstance is, don't be caught off guard by this. Don't think that that God has forsaken you or isn't concerned about you, because He is. He tests His children, and He works in us to accomplish something both in our life now and in the world to come. So it is it's a common thing. Job 5 and 7, Job said, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." He's talking about sparks in a fire, that they just naturally fly upward. Just as they fly upward, so is it true that man is going to have trouble. He'll have trouble, seasons of trouble. Job 14 and 1, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." It doesn't mean all the times. It just means that there will be seasons of time in your Christian experience when you'll have things going on in your life that you question, you don't understand what's happening. And that's what we're talking about today. And I just pray that the Lord will help us to not only understand it from a biblical perspective, but also to know what the Bible says about how to get through these trials. Because we have some among us, some that are in our congregation, some of you in your family that you're concerned about. I'm concerned about, because they're in deep trial and trouble, and having difficulty how to see their way through it. But there is a way through the trouble. There is a way through the trial, and we have to look to the Word of God to see that that is true. And one of the things is recognizing that we're not in heaven, we're in this world, and that in this world there are tribulation. And in spite of even the enemy who comes to bring destruction, God is able to take the worst of circumstances and turn it into something for our good. Praise God. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. Even Jesus said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." He said the world is a place of trouble. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But remember, He said, "I have overcome the world." So no matter how deep or dark or horrible your trouble in this world is, you're still in the hands of the Lord, because He's got this world in His hands. And it's all in control. No matter what you're experiencing, Jesus said, yes, this world is a place where there will be seasons of trouble and trial. Now, you may not be in a trial today, or you may just be coming out of one. And if not, then you might be getting ready to go into one, because there are seasons in all of our lives, and we know that from experience, even in Christian experience. And tests are not a pleasant thing. They're just not. I've known of students when I was in school that they like tests. I didn't like any of the tests. I didn't enjoy any of them. And in Bible school, they had pop quizzes. And usually it was the first hour of the day, early in the morning, when I was doing good to get there, let alone to be awake enough to remember what we talked about in the class the day before. And a pop quiz would usually just be three questions talked about in the class before, the day before. So you're supposed to take the appropriate notes during the class. and then study them the night before. But I left school and went immediately to a job and got off work about 7 o'clock at night, and I was pretty well wiped out and often wouldn't look at my notes all that much and didn't have that good of a note. So I would run to class and get there that first hour, and then the young lady that sat in, usually in front of me, her name was Lynn Hayes, Japanese-American young lady. And Lynn was this studious person who loved tests. And I was always seated usually behind her because they seated us alphabetically. And her last name was Hayes and then Jarvis. And she knew me well enough to know that I was probably not ready for the pop quiz. And so she would turn around and she would say, "Okay, listen." So for about 5 minutes before the class started, she had the highlights, her notes. "They're probably going to ask about this, and they're probably going to ask about this, and here's the answer." And she would give me a 5-minute review. I'd make 100 on my pop quizzes, and it would all be because of Lynn Hayes. And if she was ever absent, I was in trouble. I did not like tests. Marcia, she's told about guys in school when they would take tests that they loved the the true-false tests. Because whether they knew the answer or not, they felt like they had a 50% chance of getting the answer right. And she said some of them would use what they called the tingle test. And she said this was A, this finger was A, and this finger was B. And they would just hit their hand on the desk, and whichever finger tingled the most would be the answer to the question. Tingle tests. But I tell you the kind of tests I liked the most. And there were few and far between. But the ones that I liked the most were the open book test. They would say, "Here's your test. You've got a certain amount of time. And here's the book. And you just got to find the answers." And you know, that's the kind of a test that we're in as Christians. It's an open book test. We have the Word of God. We have the answers. We're not left out here in the dark to not know what's going on. We have His Word. Let's look at the Word of God and see what it says about the test that we experience and that we go through. James says that we are to count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. The Greek word there means, where it says divers or various types of temptations. Many colored is really what the Greek word means. Porkilos is the Greek word, means many colored. And that's exactly the way it is, isn't it? I've noticed over the years that people will have a trying situation in their life, and you think, "I'd never think they would have that problem, or they would have to ever go through that kind of a trial," because a year or two before, that would have never been in their mind. They would never think that they would experience that. I've gone through trials that I never dreamed that I would have to deal with, and really unprepared for them, and not knowing how to encounter, how to face them. But that's what he says, many colored, all different types of tests, fears and worries and anxieties and disappointments and goals unrealized and unexpected weaknesses or sicknesses or financial problems, family needs, spiritual needs, all kinds, many colored problems comes our way. Amen. And as Christians, We understand that God is always at the end of the trial. He's always there with the blessing and the reward, and that we can put our trust in the Lord and know that He is faithful. Amen. And we can understand that God Himself, that the purpose in your trial is it's not for God's benefit, it's for your benefit. It's not for God's benefit, because God already knows all about you. But you need to be able to see what you're made out of. You need to be able to see your strengths and your weaknesses and your faith. And when you go through a trial and you endure trying circumstances, you come out on the other side and you see the faithfulness of God, even the worst of situations, then you can you learn something about your commitment to God, about your relationship to God, and about His faithfulness. It's not for God's benefit, because He already knows everything and knows everything about you. But God allows you to go through it so you can see some things about yourself and receive the blessing even in spite of the trial. So then what does the Bible say? I think we can all admit, yes, we do have troubles. Yes, as Christians, we do experience trying times. As Christians, we do have many colored problems. And you may face things in the coming months or years that you thought, I never dreamed I would go through this. I'd never dreamed I would experience this kind of a trouble. Many colored, various trials and troubles. So we've already established the fact biblically that Christians do go through experiences like this. But the real question is, how do we get through it? How do we get through it? How do we honor God? How do we come out on the other side in victory? Well, let's look at about three suggestions from the Word of God. I don't mean suggestions. Three principles from this text here that we're using in James chapter 1. The first one is in verse number 2, where it says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into these trials. Develop an attitude of joyfulness. Determine in your heart that you are going to remain joyful in spite of your trouble. Now, how do you do that? How can you have joy in troubling situations? Well, it says, brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy. The word there, to count it all joy, the Greek word means to think forward. It means always have a forward look. Always look to the future and understand, I belong to the Lord. And the worst thing that can happen to me is I could die and go to heaven. That's the worst possible thing. Can you imagine that? Well, that's not bad. That's wonderful. So when you have when you count it all joy, you look to the future and you know God, at the very worst scenario is that you could just die and go into the presence of the Lord. Other than that, thinking forward and looking to the future, we can understand that God has it in control and that He's going to accomplish in us a wonderful thing. He's going to develop in us and prepare us for things that we could have never been able to do and develop our character. And He's going to accomplish some things in us. And because of that, then we can have joy. Because it's not all out of control. That's the thing that frustrates me. I'm being transparent here this morning. I'm not an off the handle kind of a guy. I don't lose my cool very much. One of my biggest trying situations over the past couple of years has been anger, and I get angry over things that I cannot change. Angry over things that I can't control. Now, I've not resorted to throwing things or anything like that yet. I've felt like it a time or two. I haven't destroyed anything. I haven't hit anyone. My level of anger hasn't got to that point. But in my own spirit, I've dealt with this. Anger. Lord, I don't like this situation. Lord, this isn't fair. I don't want it to be like this. Why are you not changing this? And as I delve into this, I recognize that my anger has much to do with my attitude toward God instead of the circumstance. And I have had to deal with this in my own spirit. Lord, help me to not be angry, and certainly to not be angry with you, because the Lord takes us down a pathway for a purpose. And He wants to work in us an eternal weight of glory, something that will have an eternal benefit. And when I look at it that way, then I can have joy. And I have to tell you, in recent days, I know I don't sound like I'm all that joyful here this morning, but I've had, just in recent days, the Lord has helped me to have a greater level of joy and thankfulness to God, and helped me to not be as impatient as I should, or to be more patient than I had been. And asking the Lord to give me joy, even in a troubling situation, a trying situation. And I tell you, Jesus is the source of our joy. And when you look to the future and understand, he's got it all in the palm of his hand, he's in control, and my future is bright because I'm in his hands. I belong to him. I'm a child of God. And so no matter what experience comes my way, I can still have joy. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's what the apostle said. Cultivate this joy in your life. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when you enter into these varying troubles. You see, your other option is despair. Your other option is give up. Forsake God. Forsake the only hope that there is in this world. That's your other option. And that's just not an option. We have to look to the Lord today. And I know that a lot of you are going through trials, and some of you are just, you know, you're just dealing with your trouble and your problem. It's just a daily circumstance that you deal with, and it's between you and the Lord. And I understand that. But I also know that you can't dig yourself into a hole and forsake the Lord and forsake the things that are most important. You've got to call out to God for help, and you've got to ask the Lord to help you to cultivate this joy. And the joy of the Lord then will give you strength. And the joy of the Lord will cause you to come through this trial and out on the other side, strengthened and new character and new ability to be used of God. And that doesn't even count all the eternal things that God is accomplishing in you during this trial. Amen. So count it all joy. Develop this joyful attitude. Amen. Number two is in verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Knowing this. Knowing what? Knowing what we've just been describing. Your personal knowledge, your personal experience has much to do with you being able to survive when you go through trials, because you have been down the pathway of trial before. And now when you review it, you can see it as it was tough then. But now when I look back, that test is a testimony. That trouble is something that I can look back to, and I can see the hand of God, and I can see the faithfulness of God. And all those trying times, I can see the help of the Lord. Amen. Well, Marsh and I were just first in Sand Springs in the church there. It was a church plant, a pioneer church. A handful of people, not really very much money at all. And the first couple of years, especially, it was rough financially. We didn't have hardly anything. And I was working a part-time job and trying to get the church going, and not much money. I can remember many, many weeks, probably months and months, that there would be maybe $35 or $40. And we would go to the grocery, and we would get enough food for our family for about $35 or $40 for the week. And it was, sometimes it's a trying situation. Even our girls today, they talk about some of the meals and say, we don't ever want to eat that again. we had soup beans and cornbread, Brother Bright, one day. And then 2 days later, we had soup, beans, and cornbread. And so even to this day, if the girls are around and we mention soup, beans, and cornbread, they're like, is there anything else? Anything else? I still love it myself, you know. But it was kind of rough going through those times. We didn't suffer all that much. But when I review those times now, I just think, my, wasn't the Lord good to us? Didn't he take care of our little family? Didn't he provide for us? And didn't he bless us and help us? And through all that, help us to get this church established and things going forward there, and lives changed and souls saved. And I just look back and say, Lord, you were faithful through troubling, trying times. Praise God. And all of us have this knowledge of what the Lord has done and what he can do in our lives. You need to know that. You need to have the knowledge, personal knowledge of what God has done and what he can do. And that causes you to be strong. It gives you staying power. When you're going through a trial, it helps you to say, "Oh, it was rough, and it's rough right now, but I know God always has been faithful. I have a knowledge of His faithfulness and an experience in that faithfulness, and so I'm going to hold on with all of my might and trust Him to help us, to go through us, because we know that through all this, He's at work." Amen. So that's what you need to know. You need to know that God has been faithful, and you need to know that God is at work in your life. When trials come, it is a reminder to you of your weaknesses, your frailty, your humanity, and of your need for God. We never get to the place in our Christian life that we do not have need of help from God. So trials remind us of our great need of God. No matter how wise or how experienced you have been, they remind us that we need Him, and they remind us of the fact that God loves us enough to work in us, to work in our lives, to develop some things in us that we need to know. So allow Him to do that, and that He's going to achieve some things. This test is going to produce something. This test is going to achieve something. This test is going to accomplish something in you. The Apostle Paul prayed three different times, "Lord, remove this thorn in my flesh." And the scripture isn't really clear as to what the thorn was. We can only speculate what it was, but it was something that he prayed that it would be taken away. And he prayed three times, and Paul could get a prayer through. But in each case, the Lord said, "No, I'm not going to remove this thing. I'm not going to take this away. I'm accomplishing something through it. I'm working something in this circumstance, in this." And so we understand, we know, we have knowledge and of an experience with God that He's been faithful in the past. We know enough about God that we know He's sovereign and that He's at work even in our present situation to achieve something, to accomplish something that has character value, and achieving something in us and bringing us to an eternal reward as well. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. "There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able." So there's always a line that God draws. He's not going to put so much on you that it's going to destroy you. God always has the boundary there, just as He did in Job's case. You can do this. You can't take his life, but you're allowed to do this and this to him. And that's what happened in the life of Job. "God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted about that which you are able, but will, with the temptation also, make a way of escape." Make a note of that. At least mentally make a note of that. That the companion with your trial is also the way of escape. Amen. It's like you may be confined in a trial. You might be in a prison, in a trying situation. Just remember that he's giving you the key, so you're not in this place. You're not locked up forever. You've got the key, and with the temptation, he has given you a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Glory to God. Amen. So no matter what you're experiencing today, and I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to know that God is faithful, and you need this knowledge today that God will not put so much on you that you cannot bear it. And He will always, if He allows you to go into a trial, He gives you this companion, and that is a way out, a way of escape that you have with you in that trial. Don't think you're forsaken. Don't think that God is not with you. You need to have the knowledge that God's with you right now in your trouble, in your trial, in your sickness, in your fear, in your financial needs, or whatever that they might be. God is with you. Praise the Lord. The third thing is in verse 4. "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." You see that it's a process here. But the emphasis that I want to close out this message this morning is on the first phrase there, the first two words, "but let." But let it happen. Let it happen. You know what we do? We get into a trial and we start struggling with it. Lord, I want out of this thing. I don't want to have to deal with this no more. Let me out of this. And we resist what's happening. We resist it. Instead of the Greek word there, that word is a word that means just what I described. Let it happen. Let it go. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. But let it have its work in you. Amen. Let him have his way with you. We used to sing a chorus. Let him have his way with you. I think that from this passage of Scripture, we can see that if we'll just rest upon the powerful grace of God, if we'll just rest upon the faithfulness of God, let God develop joy. You talk about confusing the devil. Many times, God would send confusion into the camp of the enemy against Israel. He would confuse their armies against them and give Israel a victory because their enemy was confused. I believe that if there's anything that sends confusion into the camp of hell and to Satan and to what he's trying to do, I mean, through trials and tribulations, Satan's goal is your destruction. It is a trial of your faith. That's the bedrock. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to destroy the very foundation of who you are and what you believe. Amen. It is a trying of your faith. It's the foundation. And Satan, through attacks and through trials and temptations, his goal is your destruction, the destruction of your faith. But God is able to take that same trying situation, since we know that all things are working together for good, because we belong to him. We're the called according to his purpose. And so God takes the evil and the bad and turns something great and glorious out of it. Some of the people that we've heard their testimonies that had the most impact upon our lives have been people who have passed the test of great tribulation. Great tribulation, such as Corrie Ten Boom. And we've read her story, and our students at LCA, they have to read the book and go through the story of Corrie Ten Boom and what she experienced. And we could say, well, couldn't God have delivered her from that? Sure, he could have. Could he have stopped the atrocity that affected her family? He could have. But God, in the midst of all of that hate, in the midst of all of that murdering spirit, God brought forth this one and many, many others who came through that horrible atrocity. But she came forth with such a powerful testimony. Thousands upon thousands, probably millions of people have been impacted by her testimony. And that ministry has accomplished. Satan wanted to destroy, but God took it into something great, greater than they could ever have imagined. Another modern example of that, of course, and we make reference to Johnny Erickson Tata all the time. She spent months after this diving accident, being paralyzed from the chest down, giving up, despairing, without hope. But God brought her through. God brought her through all of that sorrow and all of that trouble. And I have to tell you, I listen and I hear from her all the time. I listen to her daily devotions. I pay attention to what she has to say, because there's such depth of spirit, depth of experience, depth of faith. And what's so remarkable is the joy that she has. The joy that she has. She'll often break into a song, sing song after song after song. It's just such a marvelous testimony of the fact that God can bring a person through the worst of trial and bring that person into a place of great influence and testimony. Hallelujah. Amen. So how do you get through it? Develop joy. developing a spirit, an attitude of joy by looking to the future and understanding that God's got it all in control. And then allow God, understand what God is doing, that He's a sovereign God, and that God is developing things in you that you don't understand, but you allow Him. You let Him work. You allow Him work and do what He wants to do in your life. Praise God. Amen.